This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. Psalm 19:14 in the Old Testament is an ancient yet timeless prayer that I have prayed many times. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I have been a born-again Christian for 58 years, and yet I confess I still struggle with the careless words I speak. The area of concern for me is slips of the tongue where I say exclamations like geez or gosh or golly. These are substitute swear words I hear myself and other Christians say instead of using the name of Jesus or God in an irreverent or profane way. Am I being overly harsh or sensitive in this? I know that words are very important to God and none more important than His own divine name. In my opinion, we are not avoiding profanity by substituting an expression of speech that rhymes or sounds like the name of God. I love my God, and I never want to say anything that is even remotely disrespectful or dishonoring to His name. Father God, let me show everyone the majesty of your name and bring the knowledge of salvation through your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin today by noting that some source material for this program was derived from material at gotquestions.org. Our website address is www.visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website at www.visionforchristworld.com. Just click on Contact at the top of the main page. I am unsure if languages other than English have substitute or milder forms of swearing that mimic the sound of a name of God. All I know is that God is not amused by our feeble attempts to avoid real swearing by saying a fake swear word when we are frustrated or irritated to avoid actual cursing. The internet and mobile phone texting has introduced the English abbreviation OMG for Oh My God when people are not even thinking about God at all. 2 Timothy 2:16 tells us this, "Avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness." This radio broadcast is all about communicating the saving gospel message of how Jesus Christ died to provide a way to take away our sins when we believe in Him sincerely with all our hearts. In Romans chapter 10, we read these words, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and thus has righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses and thus has salvation. For the Scripture says everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, who richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, we are not saved by not using swear words. That would be a form of trying to earn your own salvation by good works, which cannot be done by anyone. Still, words are very important to God. And I am increasingly sensitive to my own unintentional exclamations that are not honoring to the God who saved me, to the God I love very much. We all need to watch our mouths, being careful about the words we speak. John chapter 1 contains these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Now the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw His glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father." Jesus is the Word that became flesh. So we see the Word is another name for Jesus, who is also God. The idea of taking the Lord's name in vain is found first in Exodus 20, when Moses receives the Ten Commandments. The third commandment states, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Exodus 20:7. What does this mean? How does it apply to terms like OMG and G's? Taking the Lord's name in vain is to speak of God with irreverence or disrespect. Many have traditionally understood the exclamation, "Oh my God," to be sinful because it has nothing to do with a proper, reverent use of God's name. The same principle is true when a person uses an acronym, such as OMG, or a word like G's, the first syllable of Jesus' name in English, or gosh, a modified form of God. If the intended meaning is to be disrespectful or careless toward God in his name, the word should not be used. However, some people use OMG without any thought of its connection to God's name. We could all use the reminder that our words carry meaning. As people who follow Christ, we care deeply about helping others and honoring God. We must ask ourselves, do these words help others and honor God? If we are honest, we will probably admit that words such as gosh do not. It may not be easy to change a long-standing habit, but we must seek to speak words that build up one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and words that honor the Lord. James 3:9-10 speaks of the tongue as a powerful part of the body. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Our goal is to be consistent in our use of words, so they would serve as a blessing to God and to others. Paul wrote, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Colossians 3:17. This stands as our basis for evaluating terms such as OMG and G's. Does using these words give thanks to God the Father? If not, begin working to remove these words from your conversations and texts in order to honor God in word and deed. For sure, words are powerful things. God's words were so powerful that they actually created everything. See Genesis 1. But even the words of us humans can do powerful things. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. The power of life and death can be seen in jury trials, where witnesses and jury members can speak words that might literally determine whether a defendant lives or dies. Less extreme, but no less real, are the power of encouraging words to give hope and joy, and the power of discouraging words to spark dismay and depression. Jesus said, "I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." Matthew 12:36. The KJV translates every empty word as every idle word. The ESV says every careless word. The Greek phrase is rhema argos, meaning careless or inactive or unprofitable words. In context, Jesus is contrasting the good things within a good person with the evil things in the heart of an evil person. We are admonished to make the best use of our words, because words express what is in our hearts. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Matthew 12:34. In Matthew 12:37, the significance of words is that they will be used to gauge a person's spiritual condition in the judgment. "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus was speaking to a group of Pharisees who had just accused Jesus of being demon-possessed. Jesus calls them a brood of vipers and asks them, "How can you who are evil say anything good?" Just as vipers have a mouthful of poison, so the Pharisees had evil words concerning the Savior. Then Jesus warns the Pharisees of the coming judgment, at which they will be held accountable for their words. There is no better judge of a person's heart than the words he allows to come forth from his mouth. Just like good trees produce good fruit, and bad trees produce bad fruit, so does the mouth reveal the heart's condition. Other passages give additional insight. Ephesians 4:29 sets the standard. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. James 3:8 advises us on how hard it is to control the tongue. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Then in James 4:11-12, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Given the weighty consequences of our words, even our careless ones, we must learn to yield our body's members, including our tongues, to the control of the Holy Spirit, the only one who can tame the tongue. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 141:3. I want to repeat a point I made earlier. Eternal salvation comes by the grace of God as a gift through faith in Jesus. While we should take care over the words we speak, especially concerning any form of the name of God, salvation does not come by avoiding profanity. Those who are born again are grateful and thankful to God and never want to offend Him. Listen to this from Ephesians chapter 2. God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even though we were dead in offenses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And He raised us up together with Him and seated us together with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, to demonstrate in the coming ages the surpassing wealth of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast. Now let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, honestly, sincerely repent, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done to provide salvation for people as they believe in Jesus. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our website address, www.visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website at visionforchristworld.com. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. That website address, www.visionforchristworld.com. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips.